So the image of the cornerstone, I'm just going to touch on that very quickly because I was actually sitting there thinking, I wonder if people understand what that means in today's world or why they would use that image. And it's fairly simple. When you build a building, not today, but in the past, especially like a barn or a cabin or that type of thing, you would lay or set one stone from which all the other measurements would be taken. You'd put it on the corner. And then from there, you make the measurements to the other corners and you square up the building. But you set one stone and it becomes the measure of all the others. And you usually have to set it in such a way that you're fairly confident it won't move. Right? So, he's the cornerstone. So the stone that was rejected actually becomes the measure of all else. And that's what Peter says in that first reading. There is no other name, there is no other person through whom salvation can be had. This person, Jesus, the Christ, becomes the measure and is the measure of all of reality, of all of God's saving work, of all of humanity. Jesus Christ is the measure, which is a startling claim. And Peter says, the one you crucified, the one that you think was despisable and the least, is actually the measure of everything you've done, everything you will do, and with whom you will stand in the judgment, because salvation is had through him. In our own worship here, we actually admit to that time and time again, though we might not know it. In each Mass, multiple times, we say the word Amen, which, if in its purest form, in a certain sense, means it is or truth. Not simply it is the truth, but it's a kind of response. Truth we've heard, truth we acclaim, truth we acknowledge. So it would be almost, you know, if we wanted to, we could almost say truth instead of Amen. And I, kind of an interesting, you know, cultural thing is that whole rise in various parts of the States of saying word. It's the same thing. I've heard something and I acknowledge it and it is truth. So we begin Mass, right? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we say Amen. We've just heard the truth of who God is and we acknowledge that. And we've given our assent, not simply intellectually, but we've said, that is the name, that is the God that is true. We pray the opening prayer. And what it is that is spoken in that prayer, the people respond, Amen. It's called the collect, because it gathers together all the individual prayers that are brought here this morning, gathers them to one as a community, and the community as a whole says, Amen. At the end of the creed, we've just professed all that the church holds as essential to the faith, and we say, Amen. At the end of the Eucharistic prayer, through him, with him, in him, we've just said that everything, the offering that we've made, and the sacrifice that becomes present on the altar, the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord present, we say Amen. And then when the priest says to you, the body of Christ, or the distributor says, the blood of Christ, you say Amen. Truth. I acknowledge this reality as that which is most real. Not simply some truth I've been told, not simply something that's been handed down, but in a sense, a truth of life, a truth for life, the truth that is life. Amen. So when we hear these words in that first reading, there is no other name, there is no other person by whom the human race is saved. Time and time again in Mass, we say amen to that. And that can be difficult for us in these days. It's interesting how many times we run into this, even amongst Catholics. So, for instance, I'm the director of formation for the Permanent Deacon Program. And at the beginning of that cycle, it's a 3-year program, I teach a course to these men who are seeking to become permanent deacons. The course is called Ecclesiology. I could rename it as Shocking You with How Absolute the Church's Claims Are. Because what it's about is them realizing that the fact is the church does claim there is one God, one Savior, one church that has the fullness of the means of salvation. And when you say to them, this is what the church believes, it's interesting sometimes, and this happens not just among them, obviously, but a lot of Catholics, well, what about all these other people? What if you don't believe? What if you've never heard the gospel? And the answer to that is, the Lord doesn't say. And so in a certain sense, we don't say. We believe in God's mercy. We believe that God, because God tells us, He wills that all be saved. But what we know is truth is what is revealed to us. And what we're sent to proclaim is what the Lord has said we need to proclaim. What the Lord does in His mercy with those who have never had the chance to hear the gospel or have never given the gift of faith, we believe the Lord gives them grace, gives them the opportunity to participate and cooperate with that grace. And we believe the Lord gives them an opportunity to be saved at the particular moment of their death, even if they've never heard the name of Jesus, because it's Jesus who greets them and by whom they are measured. There is no other measure. There is no other name. There is no other salvation. Now, in today's world, people say, ooh, that's pretty intolerant. No, it's not. Oh, that's pretty absolutist in your claim. Yes, it is. Peter was absolutist in his claim, standing before them. And the church has held to this since the very beginning, because it is the name which we have been given by which the human race is saved. We don't have to apologize or feel somehow that we are being less than open-minded by claiming Jesus Christ as Savior of all. What we have to be is grateful for the gift that the Lord has given to the world in His Son, responsible for the gift that He has given us to make His name known, trusting in the gift that His salvation and mercy is extended to all by the means that God chooses, and inspired and enlivened by the Holy Spirit to make His name known. That's what's given to us. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He does so by coming into the world and becoming rejected and the measure by which salvation is both known, experienced, lived, and proclaimed. And to that we say amen.